Explain the plan, and then maybe I'll make some comments about how it might be related to some other talks in this conference. So the plan is to explain some mostly conjectural, but there are some theorems as well. Some generalization of geometric Satake equivalents or examples of local geometric Langlands involving Lie superalgebra JLM M. And so here I should say that the main idea for me comes from, so there's some kind of physics input and some physics explanation of everything which is going on, which I learned from Davide. So this is basically Gaiotto. And somehow we were kind of discussing this, and then, well, simultaneously, just kind of independently of that, some of that, I just discovered that some of that was being studied for completely different reasons by Finkelberg Ginzburg and Trafkin. And so we kind of joined Alfred Stieblitz. And so basically, from physics, we can get some very precise mathematical conjectures, or actually series of mathematical conjectures, which I'll sort of try to explain. And then we can actually prove, well, eventually probably all of them will be proven. But now we can prove just maybe some parts of those conjectures. And as I said, somehow, I don't really understand the relationship between this and other things, but it's definitely, at least in some way, related to what Kevin was talking about, and was also definitely related to some talk, to the talk by Zenkevich. And but these are some things. So I'll try not to say any words from physics at all, because I'm probably not the right person in this room to try to do that. But everybody is welcome to sort of complement what I'm going to say with whatever they think is right. Okay, so a more specific plan is the following. So specific plan is, first of all, recall usual geometric Satake. And unlike what, usually when geometric Satake is being recalled, people try to explain why this is a good statement. So I'll rather try to explain why this is a bad statement. Why there's a need for a different statement. And there's a different statement, and there's a kind of, something that I can call Whitaker geometric Satake, and Dennis Geisger also likes to call it fundamental local equivalence. And this is due to Gates-Gorry and Luria. And then generalization for GLM, and then that will be generalization of Satake, and then sort of reformulation in terms of, if I actually have time to get to that, of local geometric Langlands. And then there should be part five, to which first I won't get to, first of all, because of lack of time, but also because I don't understand it. So somebody else actually should do it. And then this should be this physics interpretation. And sort of this S duality for in this 5 D5 frames. Okay. So that's the plan. Okay, let's try to implement this plan. So part one. Well, okay, let me do so. So somehow let's fix the standard notation. So we fix the field K of Laurent power series over complex numbers. Inside there's a ring of integers, and we fix also some G, which is a connected reductive group over complex numbers, and we form the affine Grassmannian of G. So I'm not going to sort of talk about how to think about it as a geometric object. The point is that that's a union of G of O orbits, which are finite dimensional. So it makes sense to consider the category of perverse sheaves on G of O, which are on the Grassmannian, sorry, which are equivalent to spectral G of O. And that's kind of can be thought of as perverse sheaves on G of K, quotient of G of O on both sides. And if you think about it this way, you can actually define some convolution product here, which is known to behave well. And this endows this with the structure of a tensor category. And this thing is equivalent to the category of, say, fine dimensional representations of the group G-check, which is the Langevin's dual group. So let me discuss some drawbacks of this. So this is geometric Satake equivalence. So let me discuss a few things which you can't do with this construction. What doesn't, if you want, doesn't work here. One thing which doesn't work is that at least the way it is stated, it's not true on derived level. And so in fact, there is something which is called derived geometric Satake. And so if you consider the derived category of G of O equivariant sheaves on the affine Grassmannian, this can be described in algebraic terms. I'm not going to do this because I'm not going to need it, but it's actually important, but not for the purposes of this talk. It can be described algebraically. And now for, you know, for this audience, one comment about this is that if you think about this category closely, that this actually has much, I mean, one of the ways how I can see that somehow you shouldn't really expect an equivalence like this on derived level is that this category actually has much more complicated structures than just the category of representations of an algebraic group, because this is essentially an E3 category, because this thing has, it's more or less obviously a factorization category over a curve, but in addition, it still has this convolution product, so it's actually an E1 category inside factorization category, so that's more or less the same as E3 category, and that's kind of it's a non-trivial kind of E3 structure, and there is nothing like this here, so somehow, that's one of the reasons why. That's definitely not the simplest reason, but nevertheless one of the reasons why I shouldn't expect this to be true. But also you can just see that for some very simple reasons, if you consider the equivariant derived category, it's really different from that. That's one thing. The other thing is, which is maybe going to be more important for me, is that it doesn't, well, let me write it, and then I'll say a little bit more precisely what I mean by this. It doesn't generalize to quantum groups. Now, there is a... So, if we wanted to generalize this to quantum groups, then one thing which is tempting to do, but which doesn't work, is the following. So what does it mean to generalize to quantum groups? Well, so it means that on the right-hand side, we want to write... well, this is equivalence of tensor categories, so we want to write on the right-hand side, we now want to replace it by the, say, monoidal category of representations of the finite dimensional, say, representations of the quantum group. So want to try... So kind of... try would be the following, that to say that... So we have left-hand side and we have right-hand side. And so right-hand side want to say that it's now going to be modulus over this, say, finite dimensional. And in the left-hand side, the thing that which is tempting to do is to use the following structure, and use the structure to recall that the affine Grassmannian comes with a more or less canonical determinant bundle. So maybe let me write it somewhere else. Let me write it here. So the affine Grassmannian comes with a natural, more or less natural determinant line bundle. This line bundle, the structure of this line, I mean, the your ability to define this line bundle is more or less equivalent to your ability to define Kac-Moody extension of the group G of K. So this is equivalent to central extension. G of K. So in fact, it's equivalent to saying that G of K has a natural central extension which splits over G of O. That's the same thing as to define a natural line bundle on the affine Grassmannian. And anytime you have, so one way to think about perverse sheaves is to can replace perverse sheaves by D modules. And anytime you have a space with a line bundle, you can start a twisted D modules. And you can do it for any complex number. You can study twisted by the C G modules on the affine Grassmannian, say G of O equivariant. And this is, again, a tensor category and or a monoidal category. And you can ask whether this is equivalent to this for some, well, what's the relationship between Q and C? So, and well, actually, if you usually would like to Q to be something like exponential of 2 pi I over C, something like this, but this is totally wrong. And so maybe let me write it here. So we can consider twisted D modules. The Grassmannian, and these things are not the same. Well, for the corresponding relation between Q and C, and they're not the same for its kind of very drastic reason. So the for generic C, they're really extremely different. Namely, for generic C, so if one C is not a rational number, you can see that this the category on the left is almost empty. So if C is not a rational number, then left-hand side is just equal to vector spaces. Well, if G is semi-simple, if G is simple, for example, this is true. And this category is, of course, the size of this category doesn't. Well, I mean, vector spaces doesn't really have a lot of. You can't really deform vector spaces as a tensor category. I mean, it just doesn't have doesn't have any non-trivial objects. So somehow most objects here will not deform to generic C. They just don't survive. So, I mean, this category just its size drops dramatically. So somehow there's nothing like that could be true. And so these are the two disadvantages of this geometric Satake. So this is why, for example, if you want to do something like what's called quantum geometric Langlands, you really should not think in terms of geometric Satake is a kind of useless thing if you want to do quantum geometric Langlands. And so. Yes, but I don't want to explain it in the talk. I mean, it's an exercise, so it's really an elementary exercise. So therefore, and so this is kind of one thing. And but the first thing which I said that somehow the statement doesn't hold on derived level, and that this is this kind of story about one category being E3, the other just being kind of usual tensor category with no interesting structures. This is actually also important. So somehow we want to replace this by a different equivalence. And then, as I said, we're going to generalize this different equivalence, but unfortunately, generalization will only be in type A. Which equivalence? This equivalence of tensor categories. Yes, they're semi-simple. I mean, that's like, it is an everything which has to do in geometric Langlands for the last 30 years. This was this statement. This is like 99.9% of everything which has to do with geometric Langlands is contained in this statement. But somehow, in the recent years, people arrived at the conclusion that this statement is sort of too. Well, it's a true statement. It's very useful, but somehow, if you want to do further things, then this is not what you should be doing. Okay, now let me explain. So this is the end of what this is end of this. So now I want to explain this. I have to warn you that I will only have time to maybe explain some statements. I will not hint at any proofs at all of nothing I'm going to say. So let's talk about this fundamental local equivalence. And if I have time, I want to actually maybe give you some brief overview of what quantum local geometric Langlands is about, and kind of put this into that framework. But let me first formulate the statement. Well, okay, so for this I need to introduce a little bit more notation. So let's fix n inside G maximal unipotent. And let's fix chi from n to the additive group. This will be non-degenerate character. Slightly abusing the notation, I'm going to extend this and use the same symbol to character, which I also know by chi from n of k to ja. One way to think about it is that actually this obviously defines a map from n of k to k, and then I take the residue map. But I want to call them just, I don't want to use, to have, well, maybe, actually, let me call this chi 0. Then I can write that chi is equal to residue at equal to 0 of chi 0. Okay, now, in this situation, we're going to do something. I'm sorry? Well, I'm free to, you know, one of the things you learn when you teach calculus is that you have to teach students that notations don't matter. okay, so, and now we're going to look at something which is where it's derived symbolically, it's slightly trickier if you want to define a character plane mathematically, but you can actually do that, but you know, there's some work you have to do in order to define this mathematically. Namely, I'm going to consider the category, which I'll denote by width of the Grassmannian. And right now, I'm not considering the quantum version yet, so, but a little later, I will turn on the quantum version. So, wait. Depends what you mean by this. So this is the category, well, okay, let me put it. This is the category of n of k, comma chi, equivariant modules, or, well, you can use D modules, or you can use sheaves, it doesn't matter. Now, well, it's literally that, except that you have to work a little bit to define this. And actually, fortunately, you can do it in a much greater generality. So if you have any category with a reasonable action of the group G of K, you can consider there's a notion of n of chi, comma chi equivariant objects there. And in principle, in this framework, there are kind of two types of definitions we can give. One is sort of invariance, the other is co-invariance. And in this particular Whitaker case, somehow the nice thing is that they actually always coincide. There's a theorem of Sam Raskin. So I should mention. This is a kind of whole big and non-trivial theory. What does it mean to consider Whitaker objects?
So they don't sit on a finite scalar.
No. They have definitely infinite dimensional support. So somehow, so you have to, I mean, it's more or less, well, in this case, you can try to sort of do something more simple-minded. But in general, if you want to describe sort of Whitaker equivariant D modules on something, then really have, I mean, the language of infinity categories is really necessary there, not to define it. You can do, well, okay, so we can, well, in principle, everything is derived, but this thing actually, because two definitions coincide, but kind of secretly, in this equivariant setting, equivariant D modules with respect to groups like this, the notion of equivariant models with respect to infinite dimensional groups, they kind of usually there are two different notions, but in this case they coincide, and because of that, that category requires a T structure. So so it is defined. So maybe it's a good defined. Yeah, that I was actually going to say it's like defined both as derived and as an abelian category. And the first theorem is that, now what kind of structure does it have? So it doesn't really, well, here we said that this thing has a monodal structure because we kind of quotient by same group on the left and on the right, such a thing always has a monodal structure. Now here, there is no kind of monoidal structure, but what is there is that you can actually, if you know what a factorization category is, this is obviously a factorization category on the curve. So in other words, I'm sorry? This is also true, but I'm not going to use that because again, I want to move to generic C where that category will disappear basically. So so the structures that's a factorization. And so if categories are sufficiently nice, somehow sufficiently small and so on, so the notion of factorization category on a curve, you know, it's closely related to the notion of monoidal category, but it's not exactly the same. So sometimes, you know, if things are sufficiently finite, then these things are the same. So in this particular case, you know, that will be the same. But if we deform this a little bit, then this notion somehow really become different. Because, for instance, when things acquire non-trivial monodromy, then, well, anyhow. So this is, if you want to be careful, on the nose, that's a factorization category on a curve, because here we're kind of doing everything for, I mean, secretly this K or this O is the algebra of functions on the form of disk over a curve. Whenever we don't need the coordinate anywhere, well, on a factorization category on a curve. And as a factorization category, this thing is, so the claim is that this width of the Grassmannian is again equivalent to rep G check. And by the way, and so one thing is that, so this is a theorem if you want. Now, this is true now both for abelian and for derived categories. In other words, somehow, so this category on the left it's much simpler than this, if you want, because here, if you consider sort of, well, I mean, this category is semi-simple, but in the derived category of sheaves, somehow there are non-trivial x between various objects here, and here this x somehow completely disappears, so there are no non-trivial x.
This equivalence
is well, okay, if of S factorization categories, if you want, but yes, but now.
What does the neuronal structure look like on the left hand side? You sort of emphasize.
Well, it's not monoidal. It's well, if you have a monoidal category, you can make it a factorization category.
Tensor product.
I mean, any kind of tensor categories.
Oh, I see. You just mean if you make.
But now I'm going to move to a world where somehow, okay. Now I want to do it for a generic level, but I'm still recalling some kind of old stuff. So, yeah. Well, okay. So let me hide this under the rug a little bit. So it's true that somehow there's a choice of so. If you actually want to work carefully, then on the curve you need to. I mean, here the only thing I kind of slightly unpleasant thing I used was the notion of residue, and for residue you actually have to choose a differential. Well, let me not do that.
I just wanted to clarify the statement. You're saying that the symmetric monoidal structure on rep G check. You think of that as a factorization structure.
Yes.
Does that imply that, like, the left-hand side is somehow kind of commutative or something?
Yeah. Sure. But again, so we're now going to slightly deform it where this will no longer true. Now, so we want to move to this direction of the quantum group, but instead of, but the better thing will be to replace the quantum group by something else. So somehow, called it, we have the Kasdan-Lustig equivalence. Which says that the following, that you can see the UQ G check representations, that category is equivalent. Well, and this, okay, let me write it, and then I want to. Maybe. So let me introduce and explain the notation. And first of all, Q is essentially e to the power 2 pi I over C. And now, what is Kasdan-Lustig? So I can see so G check hat is the corresponding affine Kac-Moody. And what is Kasdan? So here, this category Kasdan-Lustig C G check hat. This is the category of G check hat modules of level C. Now, when I say, just a warning, when I say a level, I always incorporate the critical shift. So zero corresponds to critical level of level C, which are G check of O integrable. And And then Kasdan and Lustig proved this equivalence. So if you want equivalence of abelian category, so it actually always holds on derived level, although this is not written Kasdan and Lustig. But anyhow, so if you want equivalence on abelian level, then you need to assume that C is not a positive rational number. Well, okay. So here, just a comment is that in principle, there's a slight cheating here. So this is not an algebraic statement, and it cannot be an algebraic statement because the category on the first of all, it cannot be an algebraic statement just because of this, because this formula is not algebraic. This is on the nose of factorization category. This is on the nose in monoidal categories. These things are closely related, but not the same. So they kind of, and the difference is that somehow, basically in when you define this equivalence, at some point you have to compute monodromy of certain differential equations, which is not algebraic procedure. So if you allow yourself to do such things, then these categories are equivalent. But actually, if you want to be careful, then this is actually a slightly, the statement is true, but it's kind of, it's true in analysis, but not true in algebra. That's why the statement I'm going to formulate will really be about this more. So somehow that's not, for our purposes, this is not the right object to work with, and this is the right object to work with. They're kind of equivalent, but it's a slightly fake equivalence. No, because Riemann Hilbert is not algebraic. So I want to do everything sort of.
So you over. Replace this by.
Yes, this kind of, whether something is algebraic or not, this puts some constraints on what kind of constructions will be involved in or what kind of things you can do when you construct this equivalence and so on. So the theorem, which is, this is the theorem of Gaze-Gourier. Laurier says that if you consider width C of the Grassmannian, this thing is equivalent to the Kasdan-Lustig category level 1 over C of G-check. This is true always for derived categories, and if C is not a rational number, is a positive rational number, then also true for abelian. C means the same as before, so this is this twisted D modules by the determinant line bundle, by the corresponding sort of power of determinant line bundle. Now, I have to, this is really not relevant for my talk, but I have to warn you that I said that this is true for any C, even for bad C, this is true on derived level, but you have to be careful about what you mean by derived level, because this is true if you work with kind of fully unbounded derived categories. So in particular, this equivalence for a positive C will have the property that objects of the abelian category here will go to infinite complexes with zero cohomology. So it's kind of, so for positive C, this is as far from, this kind of zero relation between the corresponding abelian categories. But on the level of derived categories, it's still true for any C. If you sort of live in the world of what's called co-complete categories, and then okay.
Is there a version of the statement where you do have UQ on one side and something else on the other side?
Well, in some sense, as I said, this category is equivalent to UQ. If you don't want to sort of use some kind of analytic tools in the construction, then I don't know how to. Okay, now I have 25 minutes, so the question is what I can try to put I can try to do two things. I can try to either put this in the kind of general perspective of quantum local geometric Langlands, or I can talk about this generalization that I promised. I hope to be able to do both, but the question is, well, let me actually briefly talk about generalization, and then okay, let me talk about generalization first, although this may be a less interesting topic. So this is, I think I erased my plan. This is part three of my plan. Now, this will be, generalization will only be in type A, although as we discussed with David, there are some kind of versions of this for maybe other classical groups as well. And so, and now I should say that this is the first time in my life where I have some kind of non-trivial encounter with super algebra that I'm not trying to run away from. So until a few months ago, I was sure that super algebras are not useful in at least in anything I might be ever interested in. But I'm still not 100% convinced that they're useful, but at least there are fun things you can do with them. So even that was somehow, several months ago I wouldn't believe in that too. But okay. Now the point is the following. The point is that so generalization will be of the following flavor. So let's fix two natural numbers. N and M, let's say N is greater or equal than M, greater or equal than zero. And I'm going to present a statement, and later on, I hope I'll be able to put it in some kind of framework of this quantum geometric Langlands, which I didn't describe. Before that, I forgot one important thing, that so I formulated this statement, and I formulated this statement, and in principle, the question is how are they related, this is going to be important for the future. So this equivalence is, if you look at the left-hand side, then the left-hand side here is manifestly this thing for c equal to zero. So therefore, this one should be manifestly this one for this number being infinity. And it's kind of true, but somehow I'm not going to explain why. You can convince yourself why this category, when the level goes to infinity, becomes just the category of representations of this group, but somehow I'm not going to, this will take me some time to explain. And the reason I'm mentioning this is that in what I'm going to say here, there will be a similar thing, but slightly more complicated. So I'm kind of going to separately formulate the statement for finite C and for infinite C, but you should really think about statement for infinite C as a kind of natural limit of the statement for finite C.
Kind of random question. Does this work even when C is zero?
I'm sorry?
Does this work when C is zero?
It should work when C is zero. Except that on the spot, I have to think a little bit what exactly the statement is saying in this case. But the answer is definitely yes, you have to interpret the, well, you mean when C, when 1 over C is zero?
No,
when C, no, when C is zero, that's precisely the thing that, that that's precisely what, this is the statement for C equal to zero.
Oh, sorry, when 1 over C is zero.
Yes, when 1 over, I'm sure the answer is yes, but I have to think about what it says. So a little bit left-hand side and right-hand side. So let me formulate, it's easier to explain what the right-hand side is. And right-hand side, first of all, I'm going to explain it when C is different from zero, and then also explain the limit, which is kind of simpler. So the point is that we can see that just the Lie algebra GLN M, and then we put hat here. And this makes sense because this algebra comes equipped with a natural non-degenerate invariant bilinear form. Not every nicely superalgebra has that thing, but this one does. And just a trace pairing. And so therefore, it has a natural Kac-Moody extension. And we can do, again, Kac-Den-Lustig. So Kac-Den-Lustig means that we can see the things which are equivariant with respect to the positive part. But in this case, it's just it's enough to, in the super case, it's enough to require this integrability with respect to just the bosonic positive part. And so I put 1 over C here. And that will be the category here in the right-hand side. Now, let me, so this is when 1 over C is different from infinity. If 1 over C is infinity, so C is equal to 0, then the story will be much simpler. Well, I mean, let me say what this will degenerate to in that case. And in fact, most theorems, well, actually, all the theorems I'm going to present will be in this case, but hopefully they generalize to that case as well. So here we can see that GLN times GLM equivariant modules over just product of two exterior algebras, lambda home C to the N, C to the M, tensor lambda home C to the M, C to the N. So you see, it looks like modules of a degenerate version of the finite dimensional Lie superalgebra. So we have, so what does it mean equivariance? It means that it's just a module over this, and in addition, an action of these two groups as an algebraic groups, which, you know, these two groups act naturally in these guys such that everything is compatible. So kind of exercise, convince yourself that this is the limit of this category when level goes to infinity. But that has the same flavor as saying that this category is the limit of the Kac-Den-Lustig category when the level goes to infinity. Okay, so here you don't even need to know anything about superalgebras. So you know, the really non-trivial input I got from David is that if you want to deform these things to arbitrary level, then really this affine superalgebras appear, which was kind of very surprising for me. Okay, let's deal with the left-hand side. So now note one thing, that when M is equal to 0, we're supposed to, at least for the group GLN, when M is equal to 0, we're supposed to recover the same thing as before. But I'm supposed to say things for arbitrary N and M, and it will be easier for me to sort of, I mean, well, it will be kind of slightly non-uniform. So I'm going to present, so there will be, let me explain. First of all, the case n equal to m will be slightly different from the case n strictly greater than m. And the case when n strictly greater than m, it will be easier to explain it when m is equal to n minus 1. And then, well, and I mean, here you can actually say it uniformly for all m strictly less than n, but you have to introduce some more notation. But the point is that, so we'll get a series. So the point is that there will be some kind of category of D modules here always. I mean, there will be kind of no supergroups on the left-hand side at all. There will be some kind of category of D modules. And again, the statement will be that as a factorization, I'm going to define some category of D modules, and the claim will be as a factorization category, it's equivalent to what you have on the right-hand side. Okay, let me say the case n equal to m is kind of the mother of all statements, namely somehow all the equivalents for smaller m actually can be derived from that one. So although it will look kind of really different from what we had over there, but when I formulate this case, then it will be already look more familiar. So here we should consider D modules just on the following thing. We take, it will actually look much more like the traditional geometric Satakya, but nonetheless, it should be thought of generalization of this Whittaker geometric Satakya. So that here we take the affine Grassmannian for GLN times k to the n, where k to the n acts on this thing diagonal. And I can put C here, so C is this twisting, and twisting just goes just in the direction of the Grassmannian. So that's the case. Now, one thing that you should note is that, I'll note this a little later. So that's, now what happens here? What happens here, this is still visible if I write on this board. So let me first do the case which is still not going to look like anything we did before. Let me look at the case m equal to n minus 1. So then we should do the following. There's also the twisting. I want at least 10 minutes to talk about local geometric Langlands. So I should take the Grassmannian of GLN. But here I want to put GLN. So I want to put Dmol's equivariance vector GLN minus 1 of O on the affine Grassmannian of GLN. So the claim is that this should be the Kazhdan-Luiskyi category or level 1 over C of GLN n minus 1. And in general, for m less than n, one should do the following. So to m less than n, we're going to associate certain u and m inside GLN. This is a unipotent group, unipotent subgroup. With a character with some chi and m going from u and m to the unitive group. So the story will be that if m is equal to n minus 1, then this guy will be trivial. And if m is equal to 0, then this will be the maximal unipotent and with a non-degenerate character. And it will have the property that, if we kind of use standard embedding of GLM into GLN, then everything will be normalized by GLM. And then the category we need to consider will be D modules, well, we'll write it like this. Well, some twisting, and here we need to write GLN. Well, I could have written the Grassmannian, but instead I will write explicitly write what it is. So here I need to write sort of GLM. O semi-direct product with this U and M of K comma chi. So in other words, these things became something like Whittaker with respect to some subgroup, and there's also a quotient by GLM O on this side. And if for people who know definition of, say, finite W algebras, I can say what this U and M is. So there's a way to associate unipotent group with the character to every nilpotent element in the semi-simple Lie algebra. And so you can actually compute it explicitly also, but instead of writing explicitly what it is, I'll say that the U and M is associated to nilpotent elements, which corresponds to one Jordan block of size n minus m, to sort of E in M, nilpotent element, which is one, which is a Jordan block of size. Okay, so now I should say that this is all a conjecture, and maybe before I spend several minutes explaining sort of the right framework for this, let me say that this is a conjecture, but it's a theorem for C equal to zero. This is actually my joint work with Finkelberg, Ginsburg, and Trafkin. And so here, the main contribution is kind of from Trafkin. So basically, Trafkin proved it for, in the case of n equal to m. And then it turns out that if you know it for n equal to m, there's some procedure you can use how you can actually decrease m. And
what does it mean, demodulus of k to the m, because k is a much more infinite option?
Well, first of all, naively, I mean, it depends what kind of categories you work with. Well, first of all, it's just, naively can just consider there's an easy definition of just, you know, sort of compact objects in this category, if you want, will be things concentrated on some O to the n times some power of t, and then but in principle everything here works nicely if you work in the work of complete categories. So you see that if you work with in the world of co-complete categories, then basically these questions disappear somehow. And okay, so now let me talk a little bit about how to put this all in some perspective. And so here the statement was,
first comment on something naive. Is there a reason why we can't make the idea work moduli of like super principal bundles on the formal disk? Is there an obstruction to making that idea work here?
Well, I haven't thought about it, but I doubt that we can make sense of that. I doubt that we can get some kind of interesting new space here, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I don't know. The point is different. The point is that about this conjecture is that you have to be careful. So the question is whether sort of it's true about its statement about abelian categories or derived categories. So first of all, this statement for C equal to zero, it's a statement about both abelian categories and derived categories. And at least when C is not zero, then at least if it's not rational, then I believe that it's true for both abelian and derived categories. When C is rational, then somehow I'm actually not sure what happens. Because you know, in the bosonic case, somehow there was a condition that C is rational, it shouldn't be positive. Now in a super case, somehow this isn't really a good notion of positive, I think. So I'm not sure what happens there. But at least on level derived categories, I think it should be true without any assumptions. About abelian categories, it's a question. Now let me put this into perspective. Let me explain where this is all coming from. And I'll maybe just to save time, I'll want to do it kind of symmetrically, which means that I'll really assume that C is not zero and not infinity. So let me talk about quantum local geometric Langlands, which of course for physicists would be something like S-duality for boundary conditions in four-dimensional gauge theory. So, so for this I need to some notion. So suppose that, let's call a different name than G. Suppose that A is some algebraic group and C is some nice category. And I don't want to specify what nice is. In fact, nice thing means co-complete DG category, but let's not worry about those things. Then there's a notion of strong. Which is the same as D module action of A on C. So before I explain what this is, let me give you an example. Suppose that X is some nice space or scheme or in scheme or something like kind of nice space in the sense of algebraic geometry with action of A. Then if you take C to be the category of D modules on X, then this one has a strong A action. Now, let me just note that there's the following hierarchy. That in principle, there's a kind of simple mind. If you just have an abstract group and add a category, there's a notion of group action in the category. Well, I guess everybody can do an exercise, and if you haven't seen the definition, you can try to come up with a definition. Now, if A is an algebraic group, then you can give some versions of this definition. For example, there's a notion of what's called weak action, and weak action is the following. If you have a group action in category, in particular, means that if you have an object of a category, then to every element of a group, you can associate a new object. So you get a family of objects parameterized by elements of the group. And weak action means that you endow this with an additional instruction, namely you make it the quasi-coherent sheaf of an algebraic group. And the strong action means that you endow this quasi-coherent sheaf also with a connection, flat connection. And so one way to say is that the weak action is the same as the action of the monoidal category of quasi-coherent sheaves on A on C. And this is monoidal with respect to convolution. So monoidal structure uses multiplication on A. And strong action is action of, G modules. That's kind of a definition. But in downward terms, it means that you can actually, if you start with an object, you can move it by elements of the group, and the totality of all these things make a D module on the group in some sense. Now, a version of this, a variant, that if a group comes with a central extension, so if there's a central extension of the group by GM, then any such central extension defines a notion of twisted D modules on A. And so for any C, which is a complex number, there's a notion of, strong A action of level C. That means that we have a weak action, but this quasi-coherent sheaf is sort of endowed with not with a flat connection, but a sort of flat C connection. Or a different way to say this is that the monoidal category of C twisted D modules on A acts on C. Now, I'm running out of time, so let me use maybe 4 more minutes. So let me formulate what local geometric Langlands conjecture says in these terms. So local. Now, I should say that it's true as stated, as I'm going to say it, if C is not rational. So if C is rational, some corrections are. So roughly speaking, it's true for all C, but and it's true on the nose if you formulate things carefully for irrational C. But for rational C, somehow I have to work a little bit more. But let me ignore this since I'm running out of time. So the claim is that categories, and again, I have to say carefully what you mean by categories. It means that actually co-complete DG categories with G of K action of level C is the same So the, if you want the two category of categories, effectively, the infinity category of categories, categories with G check of K action of level minus one over C. Okay, now, and this equivalence will have such a property that we'll denote it by C going to C check, and it will have the property that, so this C and C check as category will be in general completely different, but it will have the property that C, if you take G of O invariants here, then it will be equivalent to C check, G check of O invariants. This is actually equivalent to saying that if you consider the Langlands or, so this is Langlands or S duality. So if you consider this Langlands, if you consider D mod C of the Grassmannian itself, of the fully defined Grassmannian, not equivalent with respect to anything, if you put check here, then this thing is D mod minus one over C Grassmannian of Chi check. This statement is actually equivalent to this, if you. Now, let me just finish by saying what exactly the conjecture is saying. So first of all, Gaze-Gorin-Luria equivalence comes from, so in fact, the correct way to understand this Gaze-Gorin-Luria equivalence, but again, it's a conjecture. Well, everything now, let's now assume the local geometric Langlands, so which would, so then, because we'll be writing some conjectures that dual to some category is equal to some other category. So Gaze-Gorin-Luria comes from the statement that if you consider the category of Whitaker D models on G of K itself, let's put C here. So then this should be equivalent. Not equivalent, I put check here. Then this check is should be the same as check. Well, okay, here I should put minus one over C, but whether you put minus or not, this sort of depends of, it's a question of whether where we take coefficient on the right, where on the left, so somehow if you do things correctly here, so hereby, well, okay, let me ignore this because I'm really running out of time, but there's some sign that you have to put here, which wasn't there before. These are all modules of it. So you see that this is a category, this is the category of sort of G modules on G of K mod N of K comma chi. Well, maybe twisted. And so here, G of K acts on the left. Here we can see the all modules over the Kac-Moody, and the group acts there by conjugation. And so, sorry, there's also a Langlands dual here. And so the claim is that these two categories should be, so this is a category with G of K action, this category was G check of K action. And the claim is that these two categories correspond to each other in the Langlands duality. And now, the conjecture I was talking about says that if you consider, okay, that will be the last thing I'm going to say. So if you consider sort of the corresponding thing on the right-hand side of my equivalence, so you can consider modules over GL MM slash M hat modules of level minus one over C, then this thing is, this category is endowed with an action of GLMK times GLMK of with corresponding levels. Let me actually ignore the levels now. So, and the point is that now if you consider D modules on C, GLMK quotient by this UMM chi NM, this also has an action of GLMK times GLMK. And so the claim is that if you put dual to this, you get this. And my previous conjecture is obtained from this one by putting G04 invariance on both sides. Well, similarly, so this is for n greater than m. And similarly, if n is equal to m, then the statement is that if you consider g mod c glmk times k to the n as a category with gln times gln action, you can take its Langlands dual with respect to gln times gln. And this is supposed to be gln slash n hat minus 1 over c modules. Okay, so I'm done with part 4 of my plan. And now, as I said, this in principle, this part 5 where this interpretation of all that from for using this NS5 and D5 brains. But first of all, I'm out of time. And second, maybe somebody else, for example, David, can explain what this is all about. Thank you. Global statement, what do you mean? What's global statement? What is the question? What is global what?
Is global
quantum GLC.
No, global quantum GLC. No, I mean, that's actually even easier to say. That's some equivalence of, it's equivalence of just, no, this is easy to say, but it has nothing to do with this discussion. So it's a, well, okay, so the question is, what are you talking about? Global unramified or global ramified? I mean, so the global unramified, that's something that people knew already 40 years ago, so or at least 35 years ago. So this is just equivalence. You can see the category of twisted D-modules on band G should be equivalent to the category of twisted D-modules on band G check with the corresponding twistings. I'm sorry?
What's
what? No. What's what?
The newer version is that these are factorization categories.
No. The new thing here is that what was all this about? So this is this local geometric Langlands is also not new. So somehow the point is not that. The point is that local geometric Langlands is for when c is different from zero and infinity, this is some kind of statement like this. Now the question is, what kind of examples can you produce here? What kind of explicit examples are there? So what this is all about, I mean, is that there are interesting non-trivial examples of that in principle, there are many categories with G of K action can produce. Take any space in which G of K, for example, acts. Take the category of D models or something else. So there are lots and lots of categories you can produce. The question is, can you compute its Langlands dual? Usually you cannot. Here this is a surprising fact that for in certain particular examples you can compute it. For example, the statement is that if you take this Lie superalgebra, this is a category, take all modules over it. This is a category with an action of GLN times GLM. The claim is that it's Langlands dual category is computable. This is a pretty surprising fact. Now, in principle, we can try to play this game for example, for any other Lie super. So if you take any Lie superalgebra with an invariant form, you can define the corresponding Kac-Moody extension, you can see the corresponding modules of the corresponding Kac-Moody algebra, and that will be a category with an action of the bosonic part. The question is, can you compute the Langlands dual? In general, I don't know, but actually there are some other examples also, David explained to me that, at least for most classical Lie superalgebras, you can, but that's a pretty miraculous thing. I mean, in principle, somehow, in principle, it's not expected that given a nice category with an action of G of K that you will be able to compute this Langlands dual. That's the fact that you can do it in some cases, this is pretty miraculous somehow. I mean, I don't know if that was the answer to your question or not, but maybe I didn't know what the question was.
Any other questions?
This is UNM of K in your statement here?
Sure, yes.
Three questions. clear at the derived level, you're like...
No, in principle, everything, at least when C is generic, everything should be sort of, it shouldn't, well, no, of course, when we talk about sort of duality, Langlands duality, everything is derived. So right. but this equivalence, I mean, this kind of nice feature, which I don't know, for that, I don't have any kind of general justification, nice feature of this equivalences of categories, which you get as a corollary of that Langlands duality statement, is that it for some reason holds on the level of abelian categories as well. And I don't have any reason to sort of expect that. And it's just by observation, if you will.
I was just going to ask, the definition of the Kazuistic category, what you mean by like such that geo-integrable?
Well, I mean, of course, especially with G is reductive and not semi-simple, that's a structure. It means that it's a Harishchandra bimodule. So it means that it's a module of Lie algebra such that on that, the corresponding group G of O acts in a compatible way.
And that's the same for you as strong geo equivariants, like the objects in, for example, that category?
Well, yeah. Yes. Well, if you want, that's an exercise. So some of the claims that if you consider category of all Kac-Moody modules, then first of all, the group G of K acts there. It has a strong action of the group G of K of the level equal to the level of a Kac-Moody representation. And if you consider strongly equivariant objects, that's the same as
for geo.
Yes.
And
this is nothing with Kac-Moody. It's anytime you have a Lie algebra, have a group and algebraic group in the Lie algebra, consider the modules. Let's suppose we have no twisting. Then consider the modules over the Lie algebra. It's a category. This category has a strong action of the corresponding algebraic group, and the category of strongly equivariant objects is the category of representation of the group, rather than the corresponding. Okay. Or if you want the subgroup, strongly equivalent subgroup, that will be category of corresponding Harishchandra bimodules. Harishchandra modules, sorry.
And for your kind of level zero category, which is now erased, you meant strong equivariant, like GLN cross GLM strong equivariant?
No, everything is strong. Yeah, sure. But I mean, for C equals zero, I have to modify. I mean, there's a version of this, but it just will take me. It's just, you see, when C is different from zero and infinity, the statement is symmetric. If I put here C equal to zero, then there's also a statement, which first of all has to be sort of slightly corrected, but that's less important. More important thing is that it will be not symmetric. So somehow here we just have categories with G of K action, and here it will be something else. So here it'll have categories leaving over local systems for the dual group. And which, since I didn't want to talk about those, then, but in principle, there's a formulation here for C equals zero and infinity as well. And this equivalence of categories, which I explained, also can be, I mean, you can also formulate a statement about one category being Langlands dual to each other, and then